I always like that from the Navy. And yeah, Terry Shashadi Village, whose voice you heard there at the top of the hour, David, playing a clip of an interview I did with him last night where he's talking about go to the West Gate, go to the West Gate, go to the West Gate. They've had some issues with people going to the front gate and clogging up the traffic lanes for the people who need to get on the base. And they're working with Google to try to figure all this out and direct people the right way. But back gate access only, that is the key. But yeah, last night, Surrender of the City, one of my favorite great Pensacola, like, campy, historical, fun, alcohol, and just like it's all Pensacola, all wrapped up in one. The one thing I will say, the way this works is, this is, of course, to kick off Fiesta and to commemorate, you know, DeLuna Landing. And the idea here being that the city and also the county, it's called Surrender of the City, but it's really the surrender of all the leaders. They all get up there and they pay tribute to DeLuna and the conquering Spanish forces that have come to town. In this case, represented by the captain of the Elcano, who was there last night, Manuel Garcia. Got a chance to talk to him as well. Fun guy like him. Anyway, they're in town until, Thursday? I think they sail out at noon. Or not Thursday. What did I say? That's not correct. I just looked up. Saturday they sail out at noon. Anyway, so they surrender the city symbolically by giving keys and kicking off Fiesta. And they used to do it where they'd parade through Seville Quarter in, like, plastic chains and balls and stuff, and now they don't do that anymore. I think that's a loss of tradition, but okay, fine, whatever. So Terry Shashadi says, you'll remember last year, I didn't really want to surrender anything. He used different language. That's appropriate. But he said, hey, I have a key for you, DeLuna.
However, we've spent the last year dealing with a lot of, let's say, fun stuff, trying to figure out how to do so and invite you on board. So what I would like to do tonight is actually give you a key to the base via the West Gate from the hours of 09 to 3. Please don't bring any weapons, contraband, backpacks, or anything like that. Starting tomorrow, all you need is a single ID, not a real ID or a passport. So I'd like to offer this, a key to the West Gate for you, your queen, and your aide, as well as your crew.
That's also a little news note buried in there, as he mentioned that you don't have to have a real ID anymore starting today. It's just any ID will do for the people that are in the car. And then, having given the key, and it's, of course, it's not a special key because it's the access that we all have, but still, it was kind of a cute moment.
But that's not all. I feel like I'm selling something on TV. Would you mind holding this? So, again, NAS Pensacola is open for business when it comes down to public visitation. So not only does the crew of Don Tristan DeLuna get access, but I'm going to feel like Oprah right now. You got a key! You got a key! You got a key! Up here, a key! Everybody gets a key! Thank you.
So, yeah, the base is open, as we know, and that was kind of a happy moment last night for the public. I'm actually getting a note in from somebody who says it's actually kind of been a disaster for those of us who work on the base because it's like an hour-long wait to get through the back gate. Well, that's bad. Yeah, and that's part of the point is that the front gate for the people who work there, the back gate for everybody else, but I can understand if the public's trying to get in the back gate for the 9 o'clock time, then, you know, that's going to clog up the people who work on the base and try to use the back gate. So, yeah, I can understand that it's been a mini catastrophe in some ways. So I'm sorry for that. But I think the net benefit is going to be tremendous and is tremendous for the museum, for the public, for visit, for tourism, all of that kind of stuff. We've talked about this before. But, yeah, I do understand how much that must suck. If you're used to getting in a couple of minutes and then you're waiting an hour to get through the traffic at your workplace, that's not fun times at all. The other people who spoke last night, you had Commissioner Lumen May, probably had the funniest line of the night as he was introduced. And this wasn't the one, but this was close.
Next, release the Escambia County Commissioners Lumen May, Robert Bender, and Jeff Burgosh. Come forward and surrender.
Yeah, it was weird to have all three of them there.
Thank you, Brent and Chief Deputy. I understand that the sheriff is not here because Spain is here, and he may get deported if he shows up.
That's an immigration joke because of the new law in the state of Florida. This was the funny one, though.
So thank you so much. And this key that we're presenting will unlock your boot at Collier Merrill's parking lot and all other city councils so everybody can park free tonight. Yeah!
That's funny. Red lots are free.
Park parking, you're the best. Let's go!
They're not, actually. That was the joke. But, of course, Lumen and Collier are good friends, so it was kind of funny. Also, you had... Tommy Leiter was there, and he said, there's a key to the city, but you got to smuggle it into the jail. If you can get arrested, you can get out of the jail.
I have a key.
Yeah.
You have to smuggle it in if you need to figure out how. I'll draw you a picture.
If you need to figure out how to smuggle it into the jail, I'll draw you a picture.
And that's where it got awkward.
And Eric Randall, the chief of police, gave him donuts, which was funny as a, you know, cop giving him donuts. Also, weird note, like you probably didn't notice because it was just not there. Nobody from the city was there. I mean, PPD was there, but typically the mayor is there or maybe the council president or something like that. They were there. I know DC is out on vacation right now, but Allison Patton was kind of in the crowd, but she wasn't, you know, representing the city. So I thought that was kind of an odd thing that it seemed short. There was missing a couple of people, but that's okay. It's always a good event. It's a kickoff to Fiesta. Of course, the Fiesta Parade is Friday night, and then we've got Coronation the following Friday. So all of these fun times going on. The Boat Parade is Saturday, so all kinds of stuff going on for Fiesta. 716 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Gracie's in for Candy this morning with traffic on the fives.
No major slowdowns to report right now. We're looking good on I-10 and I-110 as well as 29 throughout Pensacola. If you do see something on the roads, just make sure to give me a call to the traffic line, which is 850-262-6111. And this traffic update is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Executive Landscaping is celebrating 40 years in business on the Gulf Coast, and you can call them today for your commercial and premium landscaping needs. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3 with your traffic on the fives.
You know, if you're thinking about that next vehicle and you're either trying to decide between used or new, or you're kind of like leaning towards new, but you're not sure, or, you know, whatever. Hey, listen, Frontier Motors. If you haven't stopped by, just go by. Go by and look around, because here's what you'll find. You'll find cars that are a year or two old. So basically the car that, you know, if you'd have bought it a year ago, that's the car today. You just don't have to pay the price for buying it new. Like, that's the advantage. And the selection is amazing. Like, 300 different used cars and trucks and vans and Jeeps and whatnot on the lot. We wound up buying there because they had something. Just the selection is what drew us there. We were trying to test drive a van, like a Honda Odyssey, to replace our Grand Caravan because we knew that's what we were going to want to replace it with, but we weren't sure, so we'd test drive. That's what you do. And then when we actually needed to, then we'd be prepared. We wouldn't have to both be figuring out which car and then also find the one to buy. Well, we figured it out. We liked that car. We test drove it, and they said, do you want to see a price? We're like, we're not buying a car. And they're like, well, do you want to see a price? I said, no, sure, it doesn't hurt anything to see it. Oh, that's a good price. Interesting. And it is the color we want. Okay, can you come down a little bit? We can. Okay, can you give us a day? Because we weren't going to buy a car. We're not going to buy a car. Sure. Still not going to buy a car, but can you come down on that price a little bit more a day later? And they're like, yeah. We're like, apparently we are going to buy a car. So, I mean, it's that easy. That's how we bought the car. So they had what we wanted. They can find what you want if they don't have it on the lot, by the way. But yeah, Frontier, just a great place to buy good quality used cars for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Her face was burned on my brain.
And I also wanted to thank the police department, especially Deputy Chief Christman. When I came out of the graduation yesterday? Yeah, seems like an evening ago. Yesterday, and it was mass hysteria out there, and there were plenty of police officers trying to control. There were people actually parking in the street to take pictures, and they were trying to get that under control. But Deputy Chief Christman was actually controlling the traffic light there, and I've never seen somebody with two stars controlling anything. You know, as someone who's been in the military, you know, I was shocked, and I said, "You're controlling the traffic." It's like it's an all hands on deck thing.
That's right, all hands on deck. Deputy Chief Kevin Christman, they're running the traffic signal. That's Charles Baer, city councilman, and talking during the city council. Just, you know, in the ordinary course of discussing the things that happen in the city, I always am caught by surprise when the jangling rings of, I don't know, the Magician Apprentice. It's kind of what it always sounds like to me. I think it's Tenny Day who wears the jangling beads. It just kind of catches me off guard every time.
Yesterday? Yeah. Seems like an eon ago. Yesterday.
You know, just it's a funny thing. And I think Sherry Myers used to wear those too. And they can, you know, the mics are on, I guess, so they show up. Anyway, Charles Baer talking about the, you know, having the deputy chief do an ordinary event like running the traffic. But that's how it is at PPD. You know, you do what needs to be done.
And it reminded me of my time being deployed because as an officer, I was often in charge of a smaller group of NCOs, which are non-commissioned officers and enlisted. And there were times in which I was driving across Iraq because I could drive well, and I was not the best. I was not the most accurate person with a weapon, so I wanted, if anything happened, I didn't want to be the one shooting. I wanted to be driving. So I drove across lots of places in Iraq, and I also pulled guard duty when my NCOs were in evaluating things, and as a captain, I was fine doing that.
I think that's funny. Like, I am not the best shot. You want me on the wheel. You take the guns.
Just feel like when I saw Deputy Chief doing that, he's willing to step up and do the things, and I think all of our officers are, to do what needs to be done, and to see a Deputy Chief out there doing that, it just made a real impression on me. So I want to thank the chief and all of his staff for their fine job there.
Yeah, no, and it's just kind of a neat note. I always like that stuff that just, you know, people getting praise and kind of an interesting observation. And plus, you learn a little bit more about Charles Baer, which I always find kind of fascinating as well, and his service and the military. 7:24 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, we got a note in for you here Gracie. Okay. You ready? We got a text in 437-1620. Somebody says, I'm scared. We need to hear whoever fills in for Candy laughing over Andrew's mic.
Oh, my goodness.
That should be a job requirement. Let's hear you laugh, Gracie. Miss you, Candy. Hurry back. Because you know Candy.
No, I know.
The piercing shriek of Candy's laughter, which is so I get so many. It's so funny. The things that people notice about the show, like last night I was at the Surrender of the City, and people are coming, oh, I love the show. It's fantastic, whatever. You know, and people love the Farmer Report. Okay, they love when we have Ryan Jenkins on. They love Transgressors. They love the frivolous topic, and they love Candy's laugh. It's like if you had to remove anything from the show, Candy's laugh would be the very last thing they want to see go. Like, that's their favorite thing.
And the best part is it's never from her mic.
It's oh, no.
It's in the out, like, it's in the studio.
It's in the ambience. Right.
Yeah.
It's across the studio, across my mic.
It's like breaking that wall.
Every once in a while, she will accidentally have her own mic open, and then you replace an eardrum. That's the way that works. Let's see. Let's get traffic on the fives from Gracie again, sitting in for Candy this morning.
Well, our roadways are looking good. I-10, I-110, not showing any major slowdown, as well as 98 throughout Gulf Breeze, Tiger Point, and Navarre. It's Gracie on News Radio 92.3 with your traffic on the fives.
And by the way, Gracie is now co-anchoring the
yes.
Pensacola News Hour from yes. 4 to 7 with Joe Ford. So,
yes. And so if I accidentally say traffic and weather together,
that's right.
Because I'm doing that in the afternoon.
Speech habits, so, that's exactly
yeah.
right. And she does the night show on Cat Country.
On Cat Country, so.
So today is
over.
Like, so today and tomorrow filming for Candy is like easy day. It's only, what, like 14 shifts for you?
Yeah, no problem.
I'm glad you're here.
If I'm not laughing, that's why.
That's I'm getting some sleep time in. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Justice Department says it has audio of former President Donald Trump talking about a classified Pentagon document he took from the White House. Multiple reports indicating that in the recording, Trump acknowledges holding on to a classified document regarding a potential attack on Iran. Some companies reportedly cutting costs now by pulling job offers from prospective employees, fearing a slowdown in the economy. NBC News reporting large companies like Meta, Amazon, and crypto firm Coinbase have all acknowledged pulling recent offers. And speaking of Amazon's video doorbell division Ring paying a fine for mishandling customer videos. The tech giant reached a settlement with the Federal Trade Commission. They'll have to pay nearly $6 million. The FTC says that Ring employees and contractors had unrestricted access to customers' sensitive video data.
Oh, wow. All right, David. Yeah, I saw some of that yesterday. And what was the other half? Not the Ring doorbell half, but the other half was maintaining the Amazon Alexa accounts, and even when they were deleted, and maintaining the kids' records, like even right. The kids' voice records. And even when they would delete the voice record, they would keep a transcript of the interaction it's super inappropriate.
It's very scary how much data they have on everybody, child, adult. It's insane.
So I don't do smart devices. Okay. Personally, I'm not into that. I don't do the smart TV. I don't do the in-home, tell them what to do. I don't do any of that stuff. And I'm still sure there is a massive amount of information on me in the various storehouses of data. It's crazy the level of knowledge that they have about us.
I'm sure they've got a server dedicated to you.
Well, I don't think I should have any less than a whole server, obviously. 727. The irony is I spend so little money on discretionary things that I'm like the worst investment for the data miners. Because we just don't spend money like that. Anyway, 437-1620. Yesterday I had a chance to talk to Terry Shashadi, who is the commanding officer in AS Pensacola. They had a message for everybody. I got a text from the PAO and got, several different people wanting us to be sure to tell everybody, back gate, west gate for NES Pensacola access for the public.
All right, sir, here with Terry Shashadi Village. You have one message for people coming to the base. First off, I hope everybody ends up coming and checking out the base, but I would request that we continue to use the west gate and the west gate only. The main gate is only for DOD traffic, so if you plan on coming to the base, please utilize the west gate.
What happens when people come to the front gate? They clog up access for the people who need to work on the base, and they get frustrated, I assume, because they find out they're in the wrong place.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the long story short, it affects everybody. It affects the people that are coming to visit the museum and the areas of public interest. It affects those that are coming to work on base. So if we can just continue to ask everybody to go to the west gate, I think that'll help alleviate some of the congestion that we have on Navy Boulevard.
So please come, but please come to the back gate.
Absolutely. We still want you to come to the museum and the rest of the areas of public interest, but please utilize the west gate. Thanks, Village. Thank you very much, Andrew.
There you go. Trying to solve that problem. It's a problem of plenty, but it is still a problem, certainly for the folks who need to get in to go to work. 729 here on News Radio 92.3. We're watching this weather system out in the Gulf. It doesn't seem likely to be affecting us in the future. It's going to move generally east or south even. I saw Alan Strum talking about this last night. But if you look at it, it's not a formed system, okay, because it's not moving fast enough. But there is a kind of an eye if you watch the weather pattern. It's due west of Cape Coral and due south of Crestview, if you can put that in your mind geographically. And the most of the what's showing up on the radar is north of that, basically from the coast all the way down to where that sort of eye is. But it's a long way away, and it's not likely to come in our direction. That's kind of the good news. David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
The county inviting area churches to a hurricane preparedness workshop. More after Fox.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, I don't want to raise your alarms at all. I want to give you the information I've got, okay? I've been watching this system out in the Gulf, and it's, like I said, it's kind of swirling due west of Cape Coral. Well, I refreshed my screen from about an hour and a half ago, and it now seems to be swirling due west of Sarasota, which means it moved north, like due north, south of Crestview. And so I've kind of been looking around, and now it's been raised from a 10% chance of formation, according to NOAA, to a 50% chance of formation. But Alan Strum last night was saying it's going to move south, and the tracks that I'm starting to see for it say it's going to move south instead of east. So I'm just saying, look, it's the day one of hurricane season. 7 days, be prepared, okay? This might be a nothing. It's probably going to be a nothing. It's probably just going to be a little bit of rain for us or whatever, but I've asked some folks to look into it to see if there's a change in the expectation of a concern for this thing. But you know, don't ignore stuff. That's all I'm saying. Be prepared, have a plan, know what you're doing, and then you don't have to freak out, right? 740 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He joins us every Thursday this time. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Gracie.
good for including her. That's well done. Well done. All right. So I don't have a lot of, like, you know, as far as I'm aware, things happening. Has there been anything happen from a law enforcement perspective the last couple of days you want to talk about?
Hey, not a whole lot, but bouncing back on the weather. I was watching Brooke Richardson this morning, and she did say that thing is still supposed to move south. Very confident about that. But yeah, the 50% thing changed things a lot. And it's a good time to remind people, especially living in this area, how many times has things not supposed to come to Pensacola and they did? It's right. Almost like a magnet here. So, it's a good time to remind everybody to get those generators ready and to have a plan ready to leave town when you need to. And, good time to think about it.
If something like this is changing how you behave, it means you weren't doing the right stuff before. I mean, that's the basic answer is, you know, be better prepared in the future. I know one of the things that is a concern for law enforcement in the summer is teen drivers. You got kids who are out of school and young drivers who are doing all kinds of things, some good, mostly all good, a few maybe not so good. But is summer, like, more dangerous for teen drivers, Mike?
Well, according to AAA, the 100 days following Memorial Day are the most dangerous, the most deadly for teen drivers. And most of the time that's because of distractions like cell phones and other teens in the car. Those are the two big ones. So, yeah, talk to your kids. If they're new drivers, maybe they should be in the car alone for a while once they've got their driver's license to get their bearings, get the feeling of the car and traffic. Before they have three or four other teens in the car with them, and they sure need to stay off of the phone. So we don't want to see anything happen. I don't know how many people have seen the video from Georgia where a vehicle hit a wrecker and went airborne, and we don't know what the cause of that crash was, but distracted driving certainly would be plausible on something like that. And bad things can happen when you're not paying attention on the roadway. So we just want parents to talk to their kids and make sure they're not distracted while driving, especially the new drivers.
It's funny. We have that video post up on our Facebook page. It's horrifying to see this woman just run through that back end of that, you know, lift gate tow truck or whatever. And it's just, and goes right up the ramp like it's a movie. It's crazy. And like you say, we don't know what happened, whether she was just meandering and didn't see it, or, you know, what sometimes happens, and everybody who's been a driver for any period of time knows this feeling, like, you sort of haven't been super paying attention, and then you look and you react to something maybe the wrong way. Like, I've followed a car out of just not thinking about it into the wrong lane because you're used to following the other cars, you know, and maybe she looked up and thought, oh, I'm in the wrong place, and she did the wrong thing of driving in. Who knows? But paying attention. I will tell you, teaching one child and now teaching a second child to drive, I am more convinced than ever that teenage drivers should probably not be drivers, like the way they make decisions. And this is sharp kids, you know, but there's so much, like, driving is such a complicated thing. You don't realize how much goes into making safe decisions as a driver, right?
Yeah, you absolutely have to multitask when you're driving, and adding a cell phone to it or other passengers, especially other loud passengers, is certainly a recipe for disaster.
All right. Yeah. Well, please be wise with your kids and, you know, be the bad guy or the bad gal if you need to. It's better than the alternative if things go wrong. Do we have a police myth or a did you know for this week, Mike?
Yeah, we do. And this is about points, points on driver's license. You know, points are great in sports, but when you come to driver's license, you don't want those points. And points are assigned based on the type of conviction and remain on the driver's record for at least 5 years from the date of disposition or conviction. And if a driver accumulates too many points in a set time frame, their driving privileges will be suspended. So, you know, if you get 12 points within 12 months, you're suspended for 30 days, 18 points within 18 months, 3 months, and then 24 points within 36 months, you can be suspended for 1 year. And Andrew, the couple of things that can rack up the points really quickly, the two biggest are leaving the scene of a crash without without letting people know who you are. If you hit a parked car in a parking lot and you don't leave a note, that 6 points on your driver's license.
Oh, wow. Okay. How much is a ticket? Like just a not a reckless, you know, 30 above or something like that, but, you know, you're going 15 over. What's a ticket like that cost you points-wise?
That's going to be 3 to 4 points depending on how fast you go. If you pass that school bus with the stop sign out, that's 4 points. Reckless driving is 4 points. So those points can accumulate very quickly if you're not careful.
Got it. Very good. Oh, one last, uncop-related thing, but I know you're big into the racing community and, you know, your life and your savings are invested in the racing. I wanted to ask you what you thought about this story out of the Indy 500 where the tire that came off of the wreck and flew past the crowd, luckily, went into the parking lot and damaged the front quarter panel of this woman's car. Penske is now going to buy her a new car, apparently. But my thought was, if you're a race fan, it seems to me like you would want to keep that car. Like, that's a great story, even if it's damaged. That's a great story. You're a race enthusiast. If a tire from a car went off the track and damaged your car, but it was still drivable, would you keep it or fix it?
Well, I would probably have to keep it because, like you said, I am a race fan. But if you've seen that video, it's incredible. That impact was just perfect. Those tires are tethered to the car to keep that sort of thing from happening. But it was violent enough to break the tether and send that tire over the grandstands and into the parking lot. So the odds of that happening are very, very slim. These race car builders are very aware of things like that. That's why the tethers are mandatory. But it didn't work that time. So to answer your question, that's something. What are the odds? So, I would have to keep it. If Mr. Penske's nice enough to buy me a replacement car, there's no reason not to.
That's what I thought. I thought a true race fan would keep it for the story value, let alone anything else. Mike Wood, he is Public Information Officer for PPD. Mike, as always, thanks for the time, sir, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
All right, Gracie's got traffic on the fives.
Roadways are looking good right now. No accidents to report this morning. I-10, I-110 not showing any delays, as well as Pine Forest, Blue Angel, and Gulf Beach. If you see something else on the roads, just give me a call at 850-262-6111. That's a traffic line number. And I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I just got a note in from officials of Escambia County about this thing, this blobby blob out in the Gulf right now. It says it is still supposed to move south. It might develop into a depression, but be short-lived. Hurricane hunters are going out this morning to investigate, and that'll give us more information. That's the official word right now from Escambia County Emergency Management. 747 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Silent breed is people!
We just found out why you don't hear Gracie laughing over my mic like Candy does, because she doesn't know the movies.
I'm not as well educated in that.
You don't. I even said to you, I said, I bet you don't know that one, do you? You don't. No. Never seen Soylent Green. Ever heard of Charlton Heston?
No.
Never heard of him, have you?
No.
All right,
sorry.
That's good. That's good.
So
I don't
sorry.
Like that. So if I said Planet of the Apes, you'd be like, not even that one. And that came with a remake that was done while you were live. So,
and I didn't watch it. So, yeah.
7:51. Oh man, 7:51 on News Radio 92.3. You know, it is. I'll just say this. Side note, personal privilege moment. Young folks these days, okay, get a bad rap, right? You know, that they're all on their phones and they don't know how to do work and none of them want a job and all that. I'm telling you, we have some folks here that are young. You know, we had Davis, who was my producer for like 4 years, and he's gone on to work with the, the Department of Public Safety at the county, and he's a fabulous worker. His wife, Amanda, who works with the USO, is fabulous worker, and she worked here for a long time. Gracie's fantastic. So I'm just telling you, it might be true of some, but I know the ones that we have work here are outstanding, so we'll take you. 7:51 on News Radio, even if you don't know who Charlton Heston is. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Atlantic hurricane season officially starts today. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration forecasting 12 to 17 named storms. 5 to 9, they say, could become hurricanes. And, of course, watching that storm out in the Gulf today. Another state sending National Guard troops to the Texas border with Mexico. Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin announced yesterday he's deploying 100 troops to the border after a briefing from Texas Governor Greg Abbott. And the NASA panel studying UFO sightings says poor data and a stigma surrounding the topic are hindering their investigation. The panel held its first public meeting yesterday. NASA's science chief says panel members have received online harassment for being involved in the study. And the Defense Department said during that meeting that just 2-5% of their over 800 reported UFO sightings have had anomalous characteristics.
Really? Okay, so most of the... Now, anomalous characteristics, that means that a very small number of the reports have given them any kind of evidence that there was something weird happening in the air. They don't mean anomalous reportings that, like, the people reporting them have an issue, right?
Right.
Okay, all right, so that's good news of a sort. But yeah, that stigma, it's kind of interesting, you know, because the perception of people who are into or believe in UFOs is, you know, crazy tinfoil hat type people, you know, or, hey, dude, I saw something in the air. Well, yeah, of course, you've also got naval aviators who have, you know, testified about this, and we've got video, and we don't know. Nobody knows what they are exactly, but, you know, there's something. And since nobody knows, that raises your concerns. David, thanks so much for the update. 753 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have? Oh, did you... I'm not a smoker. I've never been a smoker. I've probably my whole entire life, and this is like back in college and post-college, like I've probably had a grand total of a pack of cigarettes ever, and it was always with friends and when drinking, okay? It's not, it's just, I never understood it. It always seemed like a waste of money. It always is an ugly habit, you know, creates health problems, all of that. So I'm anti-smoking, but I'm pro-freedom, you know? So I don't like the rules that are prohibiting people from smoking in places. You know, I still think that we're losing more and more freedom in the name of what everybody else gets irritated by all the time. So that's kind of where I stand. So when Canada is now coming out with, I don't know if you have seen this, but Canada is coming out with the most aggressive warnings on cigarettes that have ever been made. On the package, okay, the proposal for the package warning is like giant pictures of like neck cancer and babies in the ICU and the NICU and, you know, warnings about immune system and cervical cancer and all kinds of other stuff. And we can help you quit and we can stop, you know, all that. Okay, that's on the box. Okay. The individual cigarettes are now going to come with warning labels. So you're going to pull a cigarette out, tap, 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 put it in your mouth. And as you're lighting it up, you will see a message, one of, I guess there are six ones. One says, and it's, by the way, in English and French. So, you know, it's Canada. It's on both sides of the cigarette. Cigarettes damage your organs. Cigarettes cause cancer. Tobacco smoke harms children. Cigarettes cause impotence. Cigarettes cause leukemia. And then my personal favorite, poison in every puff. Or, if you speak French, du poison dans chaque buffet. I mean, like, what? So I wonder if you're a smoker, is your goal to, like, man, get past the warning, like, burn it down past the warning so I don't have to see that anymore. But you're going to be looking at somebody, you know, very cool, hanging out and got their cigarette in their hand and they go for a puff, poison in every puff. I mean, like, why would you not just ban it? Why would you not just ban the things if they're so bad like this? Again, I'm anti-smoking, but... this is, wow. do you really think that people don't know this? And if they need to be told every time they put a cigarette in their mouth, is this going to make a difference? I would think this makes no difference whatsoever because the addiction level is so high already. But I don't know. Maybe Canada will be the vanguard. 437-1620. Gracie's got traffic on the fives.
Roads are good right now. No accidents that are causing delays with roadblocks. I-10, I-110 running smoothly throughout our area. If you do see something slowing you down this morning, just give me a call to the traffic line, which is 850-2626-111. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
All right. Thanks so much, Gracie. I have discovered a thing that is... all I can tell you is it's the most amazing thing I think I have ever seen. And that's saying something because I've seen a lot, okay? It's the Savannah Bananas baseball team. It's a, like, college-level team, but it's not pro. It's an alternate league that they... best I can tell you is it's if the Harlem Globetrotters played baseball, for instance...
Hold on, here comes D.R. Meadows racing in from center. He hops Danny Hosley and gets a strike in there. Swan pops it up. Bill Leroy throws away his glove.
D.R.'s got it.
The center fielder catches it behind home plate in foul territory. D.R. Meadows, are you kidding me?
So they're just plain geared for fun. And in this case, the center fielder didn't have the ball. The pitcher had the ball. Center fielder comes running in, jumps up over the head, like, you know, straddle jumps him. He gets tossed the ball, and then he throws a pitch to home plate. It's a strike. The batter swings, pops it up behind home plate. The center fielder threw the pitch and caught the pop-up behind home plate. Like, you've never seen that in your life. Here's a strikeout call.
Bloomer goes down swinging.
And the ump is doing the dance.
And it looks like the entire Bananas team has all taken a little nap here because Andy came home.
Andy's coming home from Toy Story, and they all fall down on the field. The umpire, I think this is the guy who taught Enrico Palazzo in Naked Gun how to do his stuff. They play in one game I was watching. They had, I got lost on a rabbit trail yesterday watching all their clips. It's crazy. So the Bananas often dress in crazy yellow and cowboy hat yellow. And then the team they were playing against, Tulsa, was dressed in pink shorts, black cutoff vests, and cowboy hats. They often wear cowboy hats themselves. And then when they got a home run, they did a conga line to home.
Look at the conga line on the way, and I love it.
Whole team joining in on the celebration for the final 90 feet of the trot.
This is, I would go to watch this every day. Like, they sell out. They're on social media. Okay, just for perspective, like, the St. Louis Cardinals have 1 million followers on Instagram. They have 1.5 million. On Facebook, they're at 1 million. The Cardinals have 2.2. On TikTok, 6 million followers. It's a team built for TikTok.
Your home for Brian Kilmeade. Weekdays 11 to 1 is News Radio 92.3. WNRP Golf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Leaders at NAS Pensacola want to remind you to use the West Gate. We'll hear from them right after this update from Fox News. Also, the Pensacola Airport reminding people to enroll in pre-check.
Compromise or caving in? I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. The House has passed a deal between President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy to suspend the nation's debt limit to pay for already approved spending. Some Republicans like Nancy Mace from South Carolina voted no, telling Fox,
"It was a bad deal, and it's not what the American people wanted. They wanted actual spending cuts for raising the debt ceiling, and that's not what they got last night."
It is the beginning of changing the pattern of spending in Washington.
Louisiana Republican Steve Scalise.